Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 this morning. And good to see Sister Sherry slip in. Been praying for her. And I was texting her this morning, just checking on her, and said she may try to slip in on us. And so it's good to see her. And so glad everybody can be here. Praise the Lord. And I'm glad that we can rally around the Word of God. That's what it's all about, you know, getting around, hearing from the Lord, hearing from His Word. I was praying this morning, Lord, just really just give us something, help us, because just like Jesus said, you know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And this, I tell you, if the grocery store's shelves were bare this morning, this would still be the most important thing in the world for us, is getting, not because I'm the one preaching, but because it's the Word of God. This would be the most important thing in our life. If we were starving to death and the grocery store shelves were bare, this would still be the most important thing for us. And so I'm thankful that we're able to be here this morning. So Ephesians chapter 3, and if you find your place there, I'd ask you to stand. If you're physically able to and would like to, we'll reverence the reading of the Word of God. And read some verses here in Ephesians chapter 3. And I'll give you the burden of our heart this morning. Pray to be a blessing and a help to you out of Ephesians 3. Look in verse number 14. I've got a thought here that I believe the Lord wants us to preach this morning. Ephesians 3, verse number 14. The Bible says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with the might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." And I'm interested there in verse number 17, the latter part of that verse, that he says that ye being rooted and grounded in love. And I want to preach to you for a few minutes on being grounded, being grounded. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace. And Lord, we thank you, as it's already been said, Lord, for allowing us to be in your house and to assemble. And Lord, we thank you for the singing that's been done, the praying, Lord, and the good fellowship. But Lord, most of all, we thank you for your word. And Lord, the songs will end, and there may be a time where we can't fellowship one with another. I think about John on the Isle of Patmos, where he had no one to fellowship with. And Lord, all the things, or there may be a time we can't assemble. But Lord, though all those things may pass away, your word will endure forever. Lord, it will abide forever. And so, Lord, I thank you that we have your word, and Lord, that we can preach it this morning, or we can get something from the Word of God, Lord, that will last and will stand when the moon is dripping blood and the stars are falling to the earth. Lord, we can stand on this Word. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give us what you'd have us to receive this morning. Father, I pray that you would bless us and open our hearts and our minds to your Word. And Lord, teach us and draw us near to yourself. I pray that you would encourage us and uplift us, but reprove and rebuke us where we need it. I pray that your word would, Lord, settle deep in our hearts and would change us. Lord, we'd never be the same, Lord, after we leave here today. Lord, bless us and give us what we need, and we'll praise and honor and thank you for it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. So he says that you be rooted and grounded in love. And I was thinking about being grounded. You know, that word grounded is only used three times in the Bible. And this is one of them. One of them's in the Old Testament, and another one is, I believe it's in the book of Colossians. But I was thinking about being grounded. And I know, like, you know, all of you growing up were all probably just the best kids that's ever been, and you never had a parent tell you that you were grounded. And, you know, it was always terrible as a small child growing up to get a whipping. I mean, that was bad. I believe that's the Bible way. Amen, don't you? I think that's right. But, you know, once you get a little older and you become a teenager, getting grounded really was like the worst thing ever. Like, it gets to the point where you are like, man, like, I'd rather just take the whipping and get it over with than be grounded for like a week. And, you know, that's kind of how it gets whenever you're a teenager. That's how it was for me anyways. And I know y'all were a whole lot more spiritual than me and you never got grounded. But a lot of young people grow up and they have their parent, you know, they get in trouble. And I'm sure Kaylee and Kelby are so sweet. They've never been grounded, I'm sure. And so, but probably all of us have heard that term, that phrase, getting grounded. And that's a bad thing coming from a parent to a kid. But from the Lord, that would actually be a superb compliment from God to look at you or look at me and say, you're grounded. Because that's what we need to be, is grounded. Grounded on the Word of God, grounded in the things of God. And being grounded and rooted deals with having a good foundation. Deals with being unwavering. Deals with not being able to be moved and having deep conviction about things and faith. It even deals with faith. And I tell you, in especially days like the days that we're living in, we really are going to have to be grounded if we're going to make it in this day. In these last days and with all that's going on, you and I are going to have to be grounded. And I tell you what got me really thinking about this. I reckon the Lord used this and got me thinking about this. A friend of mine, a preacher friend of mine the other day, said something that really got me thinking about this. And I'm going to read you the quote that he said. He said, "In our average pulpits, we have glamorized ignorance. We have actually sensationalized vulgarity, erroneously blurred the lines between salvation and sanctification. Some have even resorted to fascinating stories rather than expositional preaching. A few have even made the man in the pulpit more of a hero than the Lord Jesus Christ. And then to add insult to injury, that same pulpit will be upset with the flock for having doubts and fears." And I don't mind telling you who said that. It was Brother Tim Giddens. We all know Brother Giddens. And I thought that was a tremendous quote. And so true of where we are today. Because especially with, you know, what we're seeing in society, it's you know, the self-proclaimed Christians and church people are right in the rest of the world as far as with doubts and fears and concerns. And we see the faith that people have claimed to have for so long, it's just like out the window, you know? And you know what the problem is? The problem is exactly what he said, how we have glamorized ignorance and everything's been so sensational in the pulpit. And really, it's preachers just giving people what they want. They want sensational stories, and they want, Brother Ronnie Sutton always called it graveyard stories and fairy tales and things like that. They want that stuff that's sensational and gives them, you know, fuzzy feelings and pulls a tear to their eye and don't want the Word of God. But now when the heat is on and persecution is now on and danger's knocking at our door, suddenly all that sensationalism is out the window and it's not taking root and it's not giving people a firm foundation and people are not grounded in the Word of God. And that's what we need. That's what's going to cause us to make it in days like today. Amen? And by the way, that is exactly the same reason Paul is writing this letter to the church at Ephesus. Because he knows trials and temptations and persecutions are right around the corner for them. And he's letting them know, you're going to have to be rooted and grounded if you're going to make it. Amen? So I wonder this morning, are you grounded? Let me encourage you. If you, probably none of us could say that we're as grounded as we should be. We're not as grounded in our faith, not as grounded in the Word. None of us have arrived, and we never will. So let me encourage you, in these days when life is slower and not as much is going on and the busyness of life has slowed down, use these days, just as we preached not long ago, on redeeming this time to get yourself more grounded. Because I want you to know, we don't know what's coming down around the corner. I mean, we've all got opinions, and I don't know what's going to happen, but I do believe this. I do believe we will never see things get back to the way they were before. I don't believe there will ever be, you know, people talk about this, can't wait for this thing to be over and get back to normal. We will never see that again, I don't believe. And we don't know what's coming on down the road. We don't know what's coming towards the end of this year even. We don't know the economic effects. I think it will probably be terrible, if you want to know the truth. That's just my opinion. Now, the Lord could show us mercy and could sustain us, and that would be a blessing. But I don't know. I do see things getting a lot worse. But the fact is, we don't know what's coming down the road. So let me encourage you to, because of that, use these days wisely to get yourself grounded in the Word of God and get yourself grounded in your prayer life and get yourself grounded in the things you need to be grounded in, because you're going to need that on down the road here pretty soon. We're going to need it here pretty soon. It's going to be very important that we are grounded. Now, Paul, in this passage, what's actually happening is Paul is letting them know that he's been praying for them. That's what he said in verse 14. He said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, he's letting them know, "I'm praying for you. I've been praying these things for you." So he's letting them know that he's praying for these Gentile believers. And then he gives them a list of what specifically he's been praying for them. He's been praying for specific things, that God would do specific things in their lives to help them and bless them. And if you notice in the passage, now I believe this Bible is preserved and was without error from beginning to end, even the punctuation in it, right? I believe every word, amen? And the crossing of the T's, the dotting of the I's are all where they need to be, and the periods and the commas and the colons and semicolons are all right where they need to be, right where God wants them. And so I think we have to read the Bible in such a way. We have to read the Bible in a grammatical way. And I want you to notice that he uses the word that. That, T-H-A-T, that, over and over and over. Now, every time he's listing these things that he's praying for, and he's using the word that, with the exception of the last thing, but it's still implied even there. And what that lets us know is that what these things he is praying for, they build on each other. In other words, he says, "I'm praying that this will happen to you in your life, that this might happen, that this might happen, that this might happen." In other words, he's listing about four things, I believe it is, and every one builds on the last one. "I'm praying that you will have this, that you might have this, that you might have this." And so I want you to realize that. And then I want you to realize, we're going to read it grammatically. We're going to go through this passage grammatically, because every semicolon closes out that thought. Okay? Well, let's look at it. You're not really understanding what I'm saying right now, but you will. Okay? So, but I said that to say this, and we're going to look at it that way because that's the right way. But I want you to understand, I said to say this, that some things have to happen in your life for you to be grounded. Okay? And whenever you get well grounded in the right things, some things will happen as a result of being grounded. So some things must happen to be grounded. And whenever we get grounded, some things will happen as a result of being grounded. That's exactly what Paul's saying here. So let's look at it, all right? Are you grounded? He says in verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So I'm praying for you. He says, "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." That, all right? So there's our first one. This is the first thought, okay? This is what he's praying for. He says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Now, what's that piece of punctuation after man? That's a semicolon. In other words, that closes that first thought, that first idea, the first thing that he's praying for. So the first thing he's praying for is that God would grant them according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with His might by His Spirit in the inner man. So he's praying for fortification. He's praying that God would fortify them, that they would be strengthened in the inner man, that they would get spiritual strength, okay? Now, that's what you and me are going to have if we're going to be grounded. We've got to pay a lot of attention to strengthening the inner man. Again, Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." How do you strengthen the man? the inner man, the spiritual man, you strengthen him by eating the Word of God. Amen? Now, folks can go buy out the grocery store and still go home empty and anemic spiritually and empty on the inside. There's so much emphasis being put on the outer man. That's how we know people are not grounded in the Word of God, because look at how everybody's freaking out over the outer man, the physical man. That's what everybody's worried about. Everybody's worried about the physical man dying. When the Bible says, don't be worried about the, you know, he or the thing that can kill, you know, the flesh. Be worried about he that can kill the soul. Right? Punish the soul. But everybody's worried about the flesh. Everybody's worried about the outer man. Paul's telling this church, listen, I'm praying that God will strengthen the inner man. Now, let me remind you something. This prayer here, this is one of three what they call prison prayers in the Bible. In other words, Paul is writing, dealing with, and it's a prayer that Paul is praying from a prison cell. That is, he is sitting in a deep, dark dungeon, chained to a Roman soldier. And if you notice, he's not dealing with the material things. He's not dealing with the physical needs. And I'm not downplaying those things, but Paul's not as concerned about material needs and physical needs, even though he's writing from a jail cell. That's what me and you would be worried about, probably. Well, y'all be praying for me that I can get out of here, you know, get back to normal life. That's what everybody wants, get back to normal life. Amen? But Paul doesn't seem real worried about that. He's letting them know, listen, I'm praying that God will strengthen the inner man, the spiritual man. And I tell you, that's what we're going to have if we're going to be grounded in the right things and we're going to be, if we're going to make it in these days. Amen? We ought to be focused on the spiritual man. That is the most important thing. That's the most important thing in our life, in our society, in this world, is the spiritual man. That's the spiritual man. And so the emphasis here in our day is on physical strength, physical needs. Lets us know how grounded people are, or are not, for that matter. So if we're going to be grounded, we're going to focus on strengthening the inner man. Amen? Amen? So take this time, the time that you have. Most of us say, well, if I had more time, I'd do this, that, and the other. Well, take this time now that you've got it and make sure you strengthen the man, because otherwise you're not going to be grounded. You're not going to be grounded. They tell me this. I don't know this for a fact, but they say that a lot of these cults, like Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, they tell me that the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses say that Baptists are some of the easiest converts to get. That's what I've been told. I don't know if that's so or not. That's just what I've been told. But I've been told they say that because they, you know, basically they're not grounded. Not grounded. People have got just enough Bible knowledge to get them all messed up. That's right. Just enough Bible knowledge to be dangerous. And they know some of the lingo, know some of the terminology. And then some cult or some wolf in sheep's clothing comes to them and says, hey, we believe the same as you. We believe King James Bible, and we go to church and all these things. We're just like you. You got to come join us. Next thing you know, they're converted and they're all mixed up in that stuff. You know what the problem is? People are not grounded. If we don't get grounded on a good, solid foundation, we're not going to make it. So he's praying for fortification, but then he prays for faith. So the first thought ends in verse 16. By his Spirit in the inner man. Here's the second thing he's praying for. He says that. All right, so he's praying that they would be fortified, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Semicolon. That ends the second thought. So the second thing he's praying for them is faith. There's two different thoughts on this passage. Some would say that it's just a simple request. He's praying for the salvation of souls in Ephesus. And I'm sure, you know, probably is. I can see that. You know, that Christ would dwell in their hearts. But then some would say that what he's praying for is these specific believers, these Gentile believers in that church. And what he's praying for is the abiding, the dwelling of Christ in their hearts. And their hearts, the heart of man, you know what the heart deals with, that, especially that specific verse right there, that word in that verse? It deals with our thoughts and our feelings. And I tell you, that's what we're going to have if we are going to be grounded. We're first going to have to be fortified, have the inner man fortified and strengthened, but we're also going to have the abiding, dwelling presence of Christ in our thoughts and feelings all the time. Now, our emotions and our feelings and our thoughts, they're up and down. But we're going to have to keep our mind stayed on Him and stayed on the things of God if we're going to be grounded. Amen? If we're taking in, news and TV all the time, and our minds and our thoughts and our feelings are wrapped up in those things, they're not going to be stayed on Christ. And you will not be grounded. You'll not be grounded. And so our faith must be strong to be grounded. Got to be strong. And that's what Paul's praying for them. He's praying for faith. That their faith would be strong. That their heart, that Christ would be abiding in their hearts, in their thoughts and their feelings. And their faith would be increased. Listen, why did Peter deny Christ? Because his faith wavered. That's why. Because he wasn't grounded enough. But Peter, that great man of God, well, at that point in his life, he wasn't grounded enough, and his faith wasn't strong enough, and when the heat got turned up on him, his faith wavered, he denied Christ three times. Because he had a problem with his faith. Why, after all that happened with the Lord, why did Peter go fishing? He said, I'm going fishing. I'm just going back to the old life, going back to the old things. I go fishing. Why? His faith. His faith was wavering. He wasn't grounded enough. By the way, the Lord told him at one point in his life, He said, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Right? In other words, that speaks a lot with being grounded. Whenever you get converted, whenever you get over this, you get settled and grounded and rooted, then you're going to turn around and strengthen the brethren. See, if you are not grounded, you and me, if we're not grounded, if we're not rooted, if we're not rock solid and stable, we're not going to be able to help anybody else. And by the way, that's why the church is not helping anybody in this day and age. Because most church people are as scared to death and worried as the world is. And so we're not helping anybody. We'll help folks whenever we get grounded and they see rock solid faith in us. Amen? And so our faith must be strong to be grounded. Jesus said many times to His disciples and many different folks, O ye of little faith. So Paul's praying for this crowd. He's praying for fortification. He's praying for faith. But then he gets into praying for what we're really preaching on, that is foundation. Fortification, faith, and then foundation. Look in verse 17. So he says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And so fortification leads to stronger faith. Stronger faith leads to a solid foundation, leads to being grounded. And Paul's praying that they would have faith, he says, that they would be grounded, rooted and grounded in love. And so, really what this being grounded is, it deals with two things. First of all, it deals with our affections. It deals with affection. He says, must be rooted and grounded in love. In love. That is, we've got to have the right affections. Whenever we are not grounded, whenever we don't have a rock-solid, unwavering, unmovable conviction type of faith, you know what the problem is? Our affections. Our affections are wrong. And you know why our affections are wrong? Because our faith is wrong. And you know why our faith is wrong? Because we're not fortifying the inner man. Again, these all build on each other. And so whenever we strengthen the inner man and it grows our faith, our affections get right and we get grounded. Y'all following me here? It deals with our affections. Turn over to Colossians 3. Just a few pages over to your right. Look in Colossians 3. Now, I could quote this verse, but I want you to see it. These verses here. We probably all could quote these verses. Look in Colossians 3, verse number 1. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection. That's what we're talking about now. We're talking about affections. He says, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid in Christ. Whenever we are concerned and filled with fear over what's going on here, when the world is filled with fear over what's going on in the world today, the problem is they're loving the wrong things. They love the wrong things. See, we've come to a time, really, and I heard a preacher preaching last week about really what a blessing COVID-19 has been, because it's really exposed where a lot of people are. It's manifested where a lot of people are spiritually. He went on to say, he said basically what a lot of people have shown in their faith is that you can keep them out of church, but you can't keep them out of Walmart. You can keep them out of church, but you can't keep them from doing the other normal day-to-day things that, you know, they normally do. But, you know, church is just too much. And you know, the thing is, we've heard one sermon and thousands of messages preached across this country about, you know, making it through hard times and about, you know, getting through this. And we'll get through it together to encourage us and strengthen our hearts to get through it. But listen, enough with that, man. Enough with it. It's time that we get grounded, man. Listen, the church in years gone by has gone through a lot worse things than what we're facing right now. And this is not the time to fall apart. And this is not the time to throw a pity party. This is the time to get grounded and rooted in our faith and to set our affections on things above. See, what's happened is the American dream has creeped into the lives of God's people and into the church. And now that American dream is kind of challenged, and now that we might not be able to see the American dream like we've used to, people are scared to death and they're so worried and concerned. You know what the problem is? Affections. They love the things of the world and they love the American dream. They love the idea of being able to provide for themselves and make their own way and heap up riches unto themselves. They love the idea of being able to lay up treasures here on earth to prepare for retirement and live a nice, easy, calm life and have this good life. And I'm for all those things. I'm not against all those things. But the problem is that when those things have our affections and those things have our heart, our affections are in the wrong place. And we've got our affection on the world. And our affections should be on things above. Because listen, nothing that has happened in our world has changed one single command that God gave to the church. Our mission is still the Great Commission. Amen? And we're still doing all that God's ever commanded us to do. And the problem is, whenever we are falling apart in this day, you know what it is? We're not grounded. We've got to be grounded and have our heart and have our affections in the right thing. He said, rooted and grounded in love. Listen, look at what he said in Colossians 3, verse 3, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Listen, we ought not be hiding in our homes from a virus. We ought to be hiding our lives in Christ with God. Amen? And I'm not saying being foolish, and I'm not saying, you know, doing, you know, foolish things. I mean, some folks are high risk and they're doing the right thing by trying to take care of their health. And I understand all that. I'm not talking about being foolish, and I'm not even downplaying the deaths and the things that have taken place from all this. But listen, nothing's changed for the church. Our mission is the same. God's promises are the same. His faithfulness is the same. His power is the same. His sovereignty is all the same. And whenever we get grounded right, we remember that. We know that. So being rooted and grounded, it deals with affection. We're full of fear when we love the wrong things. But see, if we love this book, if this book has our heart and our affections, we're not concerned because I still got this book in my hand and it's still just as true no matter what's happening. Listen, whenever we love the Lord and love the work of God, we're not scared, concerned, and worried because His work's still going on. The gates of hell will not prevail against this thing, let alone some little old virus, let alone some government. Amen? Listen, the gates of hell, listen, they're the government and this virus and all these things are small potatoes compared to the gates of hell. And God said the gates of hell ain't even going to prevail against us. Amen? And so when we love the church and we love His work, listen, we realize that we are a winner either way and God's promises still stand and we're rooted and grounded and rock solid in what God has always promised us. Amen? But it deals with our affection. See, we get full of fear when we love the wrong things, when our love is not grounded. So it deals with affection, rooted and grounded in love. But then it also deals with comprehension. deals with our affections and deals with comprehension. See, back in Ephesians chapter 3, he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, verse 17, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. See, to comprehend deep spiritual truths, we must have a good spiritual foundation. We've got to be grounded in the right things. By the way, in this day, these last days, we need spiritual understanding. We're going to have spiritual understanding. And, you know, to comprehend, you know, what he does is he talks about dimensions. He says, listen, if you're not grounded, you're not going to be able to comprehend the dimensions of Christ, the breadth and length and depth and height, you know. But to comprehend the dimensions of the love of Christ, that will do wonders in your Christian life. You know what the problem with really what's going on, and especially with the church, especially today? People are not grounded. And so, whenever the heat gets turned up, because they're not grounded and their faith isn't strong, they're not thinking about the length and the breadth and the height and the depth of Christ. They're not thinking about how far He can go to take care of me. They're not thinking about how big God is in spite of all these things. They're not thinking about how deep His love is for me and how strong He is, how powerful He is. No, He's not thinking about that. Why? Because they're not grounded. Easily moved. Easily shaken. This is why we've got to be grounded. Songwriter said, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And whenever in the darkest night, in the lowest valley, if we're grounded, we can always remember the dimensions of Christ, the depth of His love, and the height of His love, and the width of His love, and all His power and all He can do. But all that only comes with being grounded. And being grounded only comes from strengthening the inner man and having strong faith. So those are some of the results of being grounded. But then there's one more in verse number 19. He says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So he is praying for fortification. And then he's praying for faith for these people. Then he's praying for foundation for them, that they would be grounded. As a result of that, though, comes fathoming. Being able to fathom the depths of Christ and His love and His power. And who. See, we can't even fathom those things unless He reveals it to us. We can't even fathom and get a hold in our finite minds the depths of His love and His power and His sovereignty and all those things. We can't even fathom those things. We can't even get our mind around. And that's what He said there. He said, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. It passeth knowledge. There's no way to even have enough knowledge to wrap around the depths of Christ. But He's praying that they would get grounded so that they can know it and that they can understand it. Because the only way to fathom those things is to get grounded, get deeply rooted in Christ. That way He can reveal it to you. You get grounded in the right things and you'll know it. By the way, that fathoming, being able to wrap our minds, it leads to filling. Verse 19, He said that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Well, there's a lot of blessings that come with being rooted and grounded in the right things. There's a lot of blessings that comes with that. Being able to know God beyond knowledge and be able to be filled with His fullness. And you say, well, what happens if you arrive at this fulling, this filling? You get grounded. You get get this filling of His fullness. Well, I'll say this. I can't say specifically, but I will say this. You'll think very differently from everybody else. And you'll act very differently from everyone else. And you'll be very different from everyone else. You'll become one of those, you know, what most of the world would call a nut or a religious fanatic, you know. But it all comes from being filled, and that comes from being grounded. So I wonder this morning, how grounded are you? Now, I know that we all have concerns at different times, and we all try to take, you know, things seriously that should be taken seriously. But at the end of the day, we're going to have to realize that God's going to have to protect us. God's going to take care of us. And to remember that, we're going to have to be grounded. You know what James 1:6 said? He said, he was dealing with prayer, but he said, "For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." There's no telling what could drive us away and drive us out of the work of God and drive us out of the things of God if we're not grounded on the right things. Just about anything could. I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Read a verse over there and I'm done. Because Jesus dealt with this same thing in Matthew chapter 7. He talked about being grounded on the right things. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24. Jesus said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." That's being grounded. He says, "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on a rock." There was nothing that could tear that house down. A lot of folks that think that they would die for the cause of Christ when they won't even live for Him when the heat's on this day. They're not even grounded enough to live for Him, be faithful in this day, and have their faith strong in a day like this. They think that they would die for the cause of Christ. You've got to be more grounded than that. Look at what He says in verse 26. "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Well, you think about all the ministries, all the big things that have been built, and how whenever the heat gets turned up, how a lot of that stuff could just collapse. Just collapse. You want to know why? It wasn't built. The people weren't built and grounded on the right things. He said, "Those that hear these sayings of mine." Well, that's this book right here. That's what it's got to be built on. Otherwise, it'll fall, and great will be the fall of it. I wonder how grounded are we this morning. If we are not grounded like we should be, may God help us to use these days to get further grounded, further rooted in the things of God. Not in what CNN, Fox News, and the president says, but what will stand forever. Get rooted and grounded so that we can make it in these days and in what's going to come on down the road. Amen. Let's all stand on our feet. We're going to pray and we're going to close with a hymn. Give you an opportunity to respond to the Word of God if God's dealt with your heart this morning. Let's all stand on our feet. Father, we come before Your throne of grace. I want to thank You for helping us with Your Word this morning. Pray that You will take it and use it. I pray, Lord, that You would help us all, Lord, to be grounded or to get grounded and rooted in You in these days, Father, in the right things. Lord, that when the heat is on, whenever things, persecutions come, trials come, Lord, our faith will be rock solid, Lord, because we'll be grounded in Christ. Lord, I pray that You'd bless us and help us. Lord, I pray that You'd help us in the areas we are lacking, that You'd do a great work here among us this morning. In Christ's name we pray.